The first printed edition of the Talmud that was in that big exhibition at
New York Public Library?
No. When
Sotheby's. Still there.
If you want to buy it, it's not too late.
So, and you could look at, they had one up volume open, and this is what, from 1523 or something? It's obviously hardly ever been opened. We're sitting in
Henry VIII,
and then he went to the Archbishop of Canterbury.
He didn't go to Daffioni.
He didn't go to Daffioni.
And who's Henry?
Why did he own it?
He owned it. He bought it. He was looking for Hector to annul the marriages.
Yes.
The Catholic Church. You can't get rid of a marriage.
And then he decided to split with the Catholic Church.
But in the process, before he split from the Church, he bought a shop and he hired people to investigate.
In Yerushalmi, it says Ki Sonei Shalach. God hates divorce. Drash, well.
Oh, really?
For idolaters.
My father used to repeat the story. His first experience as a rov with a divorce. Like Irish used to shun him. He's bath more than love the balls. Better to stay out and cry than me. Where are we? Halacha Hay?
Halacha Hay, page Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Ayin Vav Amud Beis.
Next to the Holy Rabbi.
Shtei Chaburos, Shahu Oakland, Bevayis Echad.
This one says Halacha Dal.
Four. This is five. Probably starts further
back. Why does it say five? Ayin Vav Amud Beis.
Look, Halacha Hay, it says here.
Right.
This is a typo. Something
yes, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Here, this has its hay here in the.
Now, this up, yeah.
Okay. If there are two groups eating in the same house, is mancha mixasam roin elu es elu, hare elu mitstarfin. When some of them can see others in the same house, then they can join. Right? You have four eating here and six eating there. They can join together and make a big mezuzah. The implication of this is that if they don't see each other, they can't join. Vimlav, elu mezamin latzman, the elu mezamin latzman. The four makes its own group, the six make its own group, and you don't have a big mezuzah. Ve'ein nevorchin ala yayin ad sheyitein l'socha mayim. Don't make a bracha on wine until you put in water. What's going on with that? Because the wine that they used to make then was very strong. It wasn't even going to some shittus in the Gemara in the sixth parak. You can't even make a bracha on it. The question is, why is this part of the Mishnah here? This belongs in the sixth parak. Knowledge? This is not an Indian invention. Well, the fact is, it is. Because what we're talking about here is to establish that the general custom then was to always make a benching, a mizuman, with a cup.
Right.
All the time. In fact, so much so that the Gemara in Tainus says that if that's your custom, then even in the 9 days you should eat. Even have Tisha B'Av. I mean, even the now that's not B'Chiddush. The Gemara in Tainus doesn't mention not eating, drinking wine in the 9 days. I'm saying even al pi halacha, that that's how we pass. Okay. All right. So Chachamim Omrim Levarchim. That Rabbi Eliezer says you can't make a bracha on wine until you put in water. And the Chachamim say, no, you can still make the bracha berpir gafen even before you mix it with water. There was such a strong wine that they used to mix three parts water with one part of that wine. And then it would be edible as regular wine. Okay, that's why in the Sechah Sukkah, when it talks about mozgin lo kos, it means mixing water into the wine. Mozgin.
The Shulchan says no mazuk. Among the requirements, it has to be mazuk.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
They said, you notice the Pnei Moshe says it has to be that it has the bracha. It doesn't mean no bracha. It's just not bar pregof, it's bar preyitz.
Yeah. It's not a regular. It's not a cup of wine. Yeah. Right. In mevorchin means bar pregof. Not sheitein the sochamayim. V'ishahir yedem chazak meod. V'lo hayero ilish siya below mayim.
That's a good trick question.
Okay. So that's because the Rabbi Kiva already paskined that if you ever said by accident rape your eights on a cup of wine and you started drinking and it's passed talk to the Dibur to fix it, just it's alright because it is a rape your eights after all.
Hadamah.
Even Hadamah then, yeah.
But it's not drinkable.
So it is drinkable, it's just not recognizable as wine. If it's dangerous, then you're right. There wouldn't be a brach at all, as the sixth parak established with other foods.
I can't imagine it would be dangerous.
Like straight olive oil, the Gemara talked about whether it should be a is it a rapier eight, is it a shahakol, and it's kind of rapier. The wine wouldn't be.
Yeah, that's why the Gemara talks about it so much. When they didn't have pure water, they used to drink wine with every meal. Wine or beer.
Quite so. Yeah. That's why it says in Nazir, in the Sechas Nazir, that a man can undo his wife's Naziris, like a regular neder, the day he hears about it, even if she already finished the Naziris, and already started bringing her sacrifices. Why? Because she's got to shave her hair. And he says, I don't want to be married to a Megaleches. So the Gemara there says, well, if she had to shave her hair, at least she can put on a wig. But when it says that he doesn't want her to be a Nazir at all, because she doesn't want her to be a Menaveles. Now, what's a Menuvel? A Menuvel is like a... disgusting. So Rashi says, what's Menaveles? Because she can't drink wine with him. And a man does not want to be married to a woman who can't drink wine with him. All right, so... Gemara. Rav Yonah Rababa Bar Zmina B'Shem Rav Zeira B'Shnei Batim Nitzrcha. What's going on here? We talked about the tzeruf of two groups that see each other. This halacha is necessary for two houses. When they're in one house, it's obvious that if they see each other, they may mitzvah for a zimun. The chiddush of our Mishnah is the focus of what was said. The chiddush of this is that if they can't see each other, they're not even mitzvah from the same house. But if they can see each other, they can join, even if they're in two separate houses.
What do you mean?
Right? The note says, ochen, but no, the Mishnah says, Babayis Echas. Right? Here comes Namora and says, that's no chiddush. But if you're sitting in the living room and someone else is sitting in the dining room and they're right next to each other with just a doorway in between, of course they can join. Right?
We learned all this stuff about the intent that you need to have sitting down. Now it seems...
Because the house is mitzvah for them, and even he wants to say.
What if you're like in an enclosed, like outdoor area? This fine also. If you're like in a big courtyard or a hall or something, you can just eat with anyone you can see, basically, or not.
So here we're talking about what you can do. There's a separate thing about what you have to, you're not allowed to break up. Those people can break up because they're not.
Right.
I'm not even. I'm talking about even breaking up from, let's say, a group of ten, or even a, you know.
Because they're not.
Right. They never made it. Tziruf. Okay. Amar Yochanan, the hein shenichnasu mishar rishon amanaskein. There, but Baruch. This is a caveat to what you just said. It must be that they came there thinking of this, because if they just happened to willy nilly be there, then of course there's no chiyuv. Okay, even Beit Nashai Ma'at Avad Lon Kibayis Echad Ukishnei Batim. The people who eat at the base Nasi, to be the house of the Nasi, where there are many, many guests that eat in many different rooms. Right? It's in the same house. Is it like one house that can be considered partaking of a long, large meal? Even though they don't see each other. Since the question is, does the Nasi mitztaref them? Nasi invites three people in this room, four people in that room. They're all sitting in various rooms in the palace of the Prince of Israel, and he's I want to know if the question is, since they're all relying on that same one person who brought them all there, can we say that is a tzira for them to bench? Okay. So the answer is my avlon kabay zechad ukeshne batim. So the Pnei Moshe here suggests that in the in the house of the Nasi, they had these retractable walls. Can you read it? Can you see it there? Does he have it? Sheyesh lehen harbei batim smuchin ze laze, upamim hein ptuchim, upamim nulim. Batim means rooms. They had many rooms. Sometimes they open up the doors and like here, like this, like that, just like these doors, right? See these doors here. So if they have those retractable doors, yes, they can. So the halacha lemaisa, we have four eating here with these retractable doors, and then four in there and two in there, and they're all eating in three different rooms. But the doors are, you know, they're retractable in some ways. If you can, we can lock it. They're not retractable, but if we don't need to lock it, and they hear each other, then it's the taka can, then the taka can join in chizima. Rabrechia mokim la mora al tara mitzio deve medrasha vu mizamen al ilain va al ilain. So this was where Berechia set up what's called an amora. An amora is what we call the people in the Gemara. Right? An amora is a person that a rabbi used to say over halacha quietly, and then the amora would be the one to teach it. Right? Those are the people in the Gemara. So Reb Brechi is set up an Amora to say the following. Right? He put his Amora in the doorway in the Beis Medrash between two halls. And he would lead the Mezumin for all those who ate on both sides. Even though two groups could not see each other. What was his Chiddush? That since everyone in the two groups can both see him, he was Mitztarif them. Right? And this, the Pnei Moshe connects this to the Shamas that we learned in the first Mishnah in the Perek. Remember, there was a Shamas who could join them if he was eating with this group and that group, and he was mixing up and eating with each one. Right? And the Gemara said, if he's smart, he'll take some food and say, "I need to eat with you because I want to join you."
Because of Barovam, if they can do it, they should do it.
Yeah, in the Hanami. Agree.
So then, when you have today, when you go to these halls where they have three or four Sheva Brachas going on at the same time. Right, it's the same waiters running from one place to the other.
Wow.
So that everybody should have to bench together.
It means
that they can.
At
Crest Hollow, I've seen it. Three weddings.
Chicks and Bird Park. I've done it myself. Three at the same time.
Really? Yeah, but there's no opinion in the Gemara that...
Means you can.
You should split up a group of 20.
It means you can.
Well, that's the question. I mean, but means you can. Right? Moms, so if you can, right. You should.
You can. So, yeah. Just so happens today, I benched Mizumin with about 1,000 people. All the students of YU converged together in the gym. And they set up a good. Mamash among 1,000 people. The Gemara, remember, earlier said that when you have certain groups of people, you should say more and more, but we don't paskin that way. The same benching for men. Okay, let's get to the wine and the water. Wine is rather inedible before you do this, so make sure to put in water. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Turn the page to Ayin Zayin and Aleph. Chum say there's no problem, you can make a bracha on that. Okay. Rabbi Yossi B'chanina. Modim Chachamim Rabbi Eliezer, because shall bracha, shu no sein the sochamayim kosher. The Chachamim agree with Rabbi Eliezer that when it comes to, as we learned just now, that this is just talking about a stam cup of wine that you had in. What bracha do you make on it? Right? But now, the Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Eliezer that if it's a kos shel bracha, kos, when you're benching with zomen with a kos, that should have water mixed in. Okay?
Don't you feel bracha now, Ologsa? Only kosher bracha.
Kosher bracha means anything. Kiddush, pension. Okay. And the Orach Chaim, Reish Ayin Beis, Halachah, says this, that you shouldn't use such strong wine for that. Nehigin Rabbanon Behon Kasa de Kiddusha. Right? So, Rabbanon Behon, it's a place. Right? The later Rabbanon preferred not to make Kiddush on undiluted wine. Right. They said not only on benching, but also on kiddush. Milsa drabiosa pliga ad rabiona, drabiona ta'am kasa umaskin la. Right, so we see that, you know, from this practice that he was saying better to put wine and water in Kiddush, that there was originally a practice of not mixing it. Right? So Rabbi Yonah didn't handle wine well. He didn't handle his wine well. Right? So it's a very famous story. It's told in the Bavli also, that if he would drink the four cups on Pesach, he was sick until Shavuos. So Rav Yonah would tell him Kasset, he would take a sip and he would fix it. He would make sure to
sounds like he put in a drop a little bit of water before benching to be able to say the mezinga, but then afterwards, in order to make it drinkable, to be able to gauge the right amount, he would taste it
in order to make sure that it was,
make sure it's the right amount of water.
It's not going to harm him. Gemara here doesn't talk about this, about how he felt in Arvei Pesachim, but in Bavli, and Arvei Pesachim says that he didn't handle his wine well at all. Right? So he would drink the bare minimum on Friday night, right? And to avoid wasting what remained, he'd use it for daytime Kiddush also. Okay. Let's read it again. He would taste a little bit of it and tell what he's capable of drinking. It's interesting that, you know, Bonnie, for instance, has a problem with gluten, right? So she can, on Pesach she
matzah's a problem. The wine's not a problem.
What does she do on Pesach? She just
gluten-free matzah. Suffolk bra. I mean,
questionable kind of bra.
I have to push it. I don't think it's really bracha altogether. Right.
Right. So if this guy has sakana with wine, I mean, there are other options. There's grape juice.
Well, sure, he make kiddush and challah.
Yeah.
Of course, they have grape juice. You can't have wine if you don't have grape juice.
Yeah.
A bit.
Right. No.
It wasn't better.
It would appear from a Mishnah in Bava Basra that they did not use grape juice for Kiddush then. Their general practice was not. Alright, but anyway, here is let's see what he did. In Temeshu Mazug Vatanya Shosa Mashkin Mazugin Shavarale and Alaila Dama Barosho. What's he doing for tomorrow for Kiddush? Alright? He'd be over on Hashosa Mashkin Mazugin Shavarin Alaila. So he must better not to be deluded. So the question is, are the rabbis using such wine for Kiddush or not? Amav Yochanan v'hein shalonu b'chli maschos. So that's only if it was overnight in a metal kli. But if you put it in a glass kli, that's okay. What happens? Apparently they felt that left in a metal, something metal, it eats away at the...
That's true. It's even today. It's a famous thing. You don't put wine...
Unless something
on a spoon.
It might have had lead in it also.
Well,
that
would be mamish.
Overnight. There's a good story. Somebody stored wine in.
Yeah, absolutely. About to say it. Yeah. Says his tiny stuff. Hey, Caesar's daughter was talking to Yeshua, was particularly ugly, and she said, and she was so impressed with his vast wisdom. She said, how is it that God put so much wisdom in such an ugly receptacle? So he said, "What does your father store his finest wine?" He goes, in wooden barrels. He goes, "You should store it in gold." And he did. She listened. You know, they did practice. And you could say, guess what happened? So he said, "Who told you to do this?" He goes, "This rabbi. You talk to him." So he told the Caesar what it was, you know, why he said it. And he goes, you know, and he learned an important lesson. So that's probably the story you're talking about. So that's what it means, is that the wine may take something out of it. There'll be a sakana to drink. Okay, so but if it's in a glass, I believe put it in glass jars and decanters, then it is safer that way. Okay, so if you're going to mix,
it might have had lead in the cup also, right. And it would be dissolved into the wine.
Very dangerous.
Even if it doesn't come dangerous, it tastes bad. Store it in silver. I did it once. Yeah, they used a big silver wine bottle as a gift, as a wedding gift years ago.
And wasn't lined with glass in the middle?
No, it wasn't.
And does it taste from it?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it tastes.
Okay, the Gemara knows. Rav Yemei b'shem Rav Yochanan. Rishonim ha'yushoalin small mahu shetseyeh aliyamin b'kol shabracha. Wow. Yeah, you're supposed to pick up a couple of this. Oh, can you? Right? But can you? Because if you do this, it looks like it's a weight for me. It should be enough. You see the way they like to hold it like the whole hand, because I love it so much. I love this mitzvah. I want to grab it with all my might.
More right? Reason for that. I'll pick up all of this.
Some hold it like this in order to show my I'm hugging it with both hands. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, so that's the thing. Can you hold it with both? The parak is coming to an end, so they're asking on these minor halachas about benching. Right? Atshma minotzlas. We can surmise three things. Right? If he's asking, if the right hand is tired, remember they would bench for a long time, and they're holding it for the whole until Alamayachas Reinu. So hands getting tired already, right? So can the left hand assist if the Birkos Hamazon lasts a long time, like Shabbos Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Yavah, Har Nisan? It's going on a long time. The cup is heavy, right? Right. So this is not resolved. You know. Doesn't give us an answer to the question, but the Gemara wants to learn three things from the question itself. Right? Shema minatlas, ad shema shehu tzarech letov so biyamin. In the very least, we learn from the question the assumption that he's supposed to pick it up with his left hand, a lefty with his or his right hand, lefty with his left hand. I actually have a book in my office, all the laws pertaining to being a lefty. In other words, when does this thing move to your other hand because you're a lefty, and when does it not? Obviously, tefillin moves to the other hand if you're a lefty.
There's a kosov.
Right? What about lulav and esrog? Lulav is in the right hand, esrog is in the left hand. But if you're a lefty, should you switch that?
What other
questions like that?
Why would you switch any of them? Tefillin, you have a fair shaposuk. You got to go.
Okay, yeah.
Other than that, why would you switch
this? This sefer collects all of the cases of where Torah, the Gemara says you're supposed to put on your right shoe first, then your left shoe, then tie your left, and then tie your right. It has to do with tefillin. So maybe a lefty should do fakirt. So all the it's a whole.
Come to a maskana anyway.
Yeah. People post poskim. A lot of these are disputes. Machlokes. Yes. So it depends on the source of your ambidexterity. It's a machlokes to Magen Avraham and the Vilna Gaon. So because there are two limudim of the Gzeres Hakasav and tefillin. One is Yod Cho with Chaf Hei, Yod Keho. You familiar with that? It says, put the tefillin on your hand, but it's spelled Yod Dalet, not Chaf Sofit, but Yod Dalet Chaf Hei. It's unusual. So Yod Dalet Chaf Hei looks in Hebrew like your weak hand. Chaf Hei means weak in Hebrew. So Yod Ka. So it's a drash. Put the tefillin on your weak hand. I know why, because people used to work with the tefillin. So when you're working in the field and you're wearing tefillin on all day, you want to have your strong hand to pull the shovel, to pull the rake, to pull the plow, right? The tefillin was very small then, and they wore them very thin straps, very tiny little. When Elisha Bakanafayim hid it, the whole thing was hidden in his hand. And the Gemara says there's room for two shoroshes, right? They're both between your eyes. Okay, so, but there's another drash. There's a drash that says ukshartem uksavtem. The hand that writes puts on tefillin. Makes sense. You need dexterity to put on tefillin. Mm-hmm. So here's the question. What happens, and this is mamish with me, if the hand that writes is no question, it's more dexterous. I bowl with this hand, I throw with this hand, I bat righty, I do everything righty. But my left hand is stronger. I can do one-handed push-ups with my left hand. Many. Uh-huh. Not with the none on the right side. It's a matter of balance also, maybe, But maybe it's just that over time it just got that way. Mm-hmm. This side is more developed. I don't know, whatever it is, but this side is stronger. Mm-hmm. So what do I do when this side is more dexterous and this side is stronger? Do I decide which one way? I couldn't put on tefillin with this hand. I wouldn't know what to do because I don't do it. But I could probably train myself.
Figured
to do
it.
Yeah. So it's machlokas between whether you need dexterity. In the stomach today, we should possibly you need dexterity. We're not working in the fields with tefillin on. But at a time when they were, when you're working in your engraving machine and you're operating on patients and your people were in tefillin while doing all these things.
When I was in Shomron a couple of years ago with our friend, there was a fellow there wearing tefillin out
during the day.
I'm kidding.
But this answer assumes that there's a difference between your right hand and your left hand, but what if you're so ambidextrous that there's no difference?
Okay, then I don't know. I guess you can decide.
Each day you go back.
Okay.
So you're the second customer for that book.
that's another book.
Yeah, definitely. It's not in the book about
it. So tzorach atov to be yamin, but tzorach shetei yado gvoa min ashulchan tefach. The stami is supposed to pick up this because otherwise, where if it's like this, how is it helping? If I'm by the assumption of saying can the left help the right, it must be off the table. So don't when you're benching mezumah, don't hold it like this. I wouldn't say kiddush. Kiddush you're probably standing anyway, but you have to hold it up. Okay, the third assumption. Tzorach shetehi yado gvoa min ashulchan tefach. That's the second one. Tzorach shenosin einav bo. And you should be looking at it. Right? I mean, the fact that we know you should hold it in your right hand because if his right hand is tired, just give it to the left hand. Okay. We know that it must be raised off the table because otherwise, why is he getting tired? He must keep his eyes on the coast during Birkas Hamazon, right?
To avoid Hezek Hadas.
You shouldn't have Hezek Hadas from it. That's also why he has to lift it. Otherwise, you might just leave it on the table. Okay. Now, the Bavli says 10 things about a kosher bracha. Our Yerushalmi just says 3 things. Take a look. Amar Bachar Shlosh Advarim Nomer B'Kol Shel Bracha. Mole, Itur, U'mudach. Mole, the kosher should be full. It's full to the top as you can get. Now wine happens to be have a certain viscosity to it that allows it even to go a little above the top. I mean, you couldn't do that with water.
Surface tension.
Right? So that's one, is that it should go well, very close to the top. Itur. Now, Itur is some type of adornment, right?
It's the famous Gaines thing. They put little cups of wine around the big cup.
Because the Bavli is understood by the poskim, says that Itur, get this, is that you should wear a hat when you bench. And this is a raya that you shouldn't be wearing a hat when you eat. Now you go to these yeshivish dinners, everybody's wearing a hat at dinner. Anyway, all the tables, they're all wearing hats. Uh-huh. Explain to me. Why? Do you eat a hat at home? Who's comfortable wearing a hat?
Some people do.
Right.
Yeah. I've seen that. It's considered their hats for the Suda.
So, but from what I'm getting from this Gemara, if this is what Itur means, it's certainly in the Bavli, that's how it's explained. How you're supposed to be showing kavod for benching by putting on the hat to bench. Mistama, it wasn't on before.
Uh-huh. Right. Where is that in the?
It's the Bavli's. The Bavli's comparable Gemara. It says Nun Aleph from the base. This is the hay. You see the hay there too. Nun Aleph from the base.
He says like this. The Pnei Moshe talk is just like that. The cups around.
Yeah. Okay. And the third one is Mudach. Right, you have to wash it inside and outside before using it. Right, otherwise, it's mis. Okay. Ushloshtun b'pasuk echad. Naftali sfar atzon umalei birkas Hashem. Huh. Amazing. Naftali, huh? Sva itur ratzon mudach malei kemashma'o. Huh. Wow, Sava means that's mashma from this Gemara has nothing to do with a hat. Like Oteri Yisrael B'Sivara, Nitur is a covering of the head. An Atara is a crown around your neck. So our Gemara says that Itur has to do with Sava, that means a lot of wine, little cups around it. Ritzon Mudach. Not sure how we make such a jump. Everyone likes to drink from a clean cup. Okay. Malay kimashmao. Of course, that's to be full. Amar Chanina, imasisa kein maksiv tamon. And if you do this, what does it say right afterwards? Yam v'darom yirasha. Ad zochel yirasha olam azev olam haba. Which is which? You'll inherit the sea and the south. That's amazing. Yam v'darom. Yam is a hint to Olam Haba and Iyov, and Darom is a hint to Eretz Darom is a hint to Olam Hazeh. Shver. Very unusual drash. Okay, but it says that you should honor the benching and the Kol Shel Bracha. Make it full, make sure it's washed, and make it itur. Either adorned or, as the poskim say, crowned. The Bavli adds ituf, which means you should wear a jacket, like misatev. You see people put on a jacket to bench. Right. Let's try to finish. Amar Belozer, kos pagum ein mevorchen alav. Kos pagum means someone drank from it already. Right. That's why when you make kiddush, pour off for people. Pour off for yourself first. Right. Because if you drink, then you make the others is called kos pagum. Besides the fact of the germs. Now, it could be a problem, some posts can point out, with pouring off for yourself first, in that now you're drinking from a cup that doesn't have much of a shear to it. But that's okay. You make your bracha on a cup of the shear.
You don't need a shear to drink, you need a shear to...
Shear for the bracha. Right. Okay. Tamo pagamo. Once you taste from it, you made it a kos pagum. Ashma min atzlas. From this too, we learn three things. Okay. This is at the end of Pesachim. Is a whole big sugya on this, right? What do we hear from here? Shma min kos pagum ein mevorchen alav. Okay, just said that. Tzorach shehebo kashir. It needs a shear, right, and a little more. Because if all this cup had was the exact shear, and I took a drink from it, there's a separate reason why there's a problem with this. Now it's less than a shear. All right, but that's not the point. The point is I made a bracha on the shear.
You took a drink before the bracha?
No, I'm drinking from a cup that I made that had a shear.
Is your shear validating the bracha for the next person if you drink it?
That's what it's saying here, yeah.
What is that?
That don't drink from the cup that you made your bracha on and then give out to people.
Or even for yourself, if you made a bracha on it and you left it over, and now you come back, you have to make another bracha. Enough time elapsed in such a scenario.
Oh, you said ein mevorchim ala.
Why not drink from it? I mean, other than a sanitary.
Kos pagum ein mevorchim ala. So,
how did it become?
I drank from this cup
before you made it. This cup has a shear in it.
Right. So.
You drank before you made the bracha?
No, I make kiddush.
And that's not a problem anymore. I don't understand.
Right?
After that, you're supposed to drink.
Okay,
you're saying there are other people.
So. But also, in Pesachim, it says that if you drink from it, you know you can unpogrom it, pour it more.
Some more.
Yeah. All right, so
how does it become pogrom? I still don't understand. But.
So here, the Chavedim say, Af al-pi sheyesh bo kashir ein mevorchen alav. Once you drank from it, don't make no one else should say kiddush on this cup. Ein mevorchen alav means kiddush. No one else should make kiddush on this unless you pour
more. Mean after you make kiddush, other people would make kiddush on the same cup.
Right. Not until you pour more wine so that there's
right.
a full
that
shore.
Makes sense.
So why shouldn't you drink from the cup?
But here,
what's the difference if there's less? Than
so that's a svara. The Haredim says against this svara. The Haredim say once you make kiddush on this and drank from it. No one else should make kiddush at all, even if a shear remains.
Unless you pour more.
Unless you unpogumed it.
Right. And the amount you drink after saying the bracha does not have to be a revi'it. It can be just a cheekful.
That's for sure. But no, it would, between you and everyone who drinks, it should be that male lugmav.
It should be a revi'it.
A cheekful.
A cheekful,
right.
between you and everyone else.
Whoever else is drinking, it doesn't have to be all you.
Well, it's a time. I mean, what is that? Less than an ounce of cheek full?
No. Fill your mouth with a cheek, and you'll see how much it is. Spit it out.
I mean, well, is it?
It's more. It's not
as much as a ravine.
It's not. No.
Is it like an ounce and a half to something like that?
Everyone has their own share for that. And the tom opakamo. Okay, and what makes it pogum is tasting it. Turn to on some of the days. Amar Tanchum by Yudin. Kvod Hayom Kodem L'Kvod HaLayla. Kvod Layla. What does this mean? That if you only have enough wine for Kiddush, do you have this stuff? Really? Doesn't have Ayin in the days? Hey. This one has it.
That yours has.
Yeah. I passed some out there. Take a look in there. Maybe in there. Okay. What this means is if you only have enough wine for either Kiddush at night or Kiddush during the day, use the Kiddush for the day.
For the day?
This is generally the principle. Mitzvahs by day are usually more important than mitzvahs by night. Except things like Sfiras HaOmer or lighting the Hanukkah menorah. But the Mikra Megillah, when you have it night or day, the day is more important. Daytime is the time for our mitzvahs.
That's the day on.
That's it.
A Kiddush should be also during the day more easily.
Both can be. It's true. You can't make Kiddush on Schnapps, on Chama Medina, things like that on at night.
That's right. For that reason.
What's interesting is, though, that the Kiddush at night has Mikdash HaShabbos in it. So that should have elevated it, wouldn't you think? It would if you didn't daven Maariv. Because once you daven Maariv and you said Mikdash HaShabbos, that was already a Zohar Sama Shabbos Lakadsha. Right? I'll tell you another thing. If Chas V'Sholom, someone is in the hospital on Friday night, or they were in such a sakana, or actually they just forgot. But they didn't make Kiddush Friday night. You know what Kiddush you should make Shabbos afternoon? Not by Chulu, but Baruch Hashem, 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 4 ounces of wine, and I can't put it between two cups, and I can either make it night or during the day. Our Gemara is saying, make it during the day, on, and make that long kiddush during the day. Without Beichu. Yes.
Can they just make kiddush over bread or over... Yes.
If obviously that person doesn't have that either. Yes. Making kiddush over bread is preferable to certainly than not making kiddush at all. Right? So he says, Kavod HaYom Kodem Kavod HaLayla. Kedushas HaLayla Kodemis the Kedushas HaYom. What does this mean? Right. If after setting aside wine for Kiddush, she only has enough wine for one meal, prefer to leave it for the second meal. It's more covered by Yom.
Right.
So here the Gemara is changing this far for me. Right? This is... The Gemara says that Shagi Sari proves that the Kiddush at night is just an asmachta. But it still is the Ikar. If he didn't make that Kiddush on Friday night, he makes it during the day. Here's what it means. Kavod HaYom Kodem L'Kavod HaLayla. Right? Let's read the Pnei Moshe for a minute. Mefarish L'Kame B'Shem Rav. Borei Pri HaGofen Klomar Lav B'Kiddushu Ela B'Shias Yayin Kavod HaYom. Called him lechvod halayla, kishein lo yayin kol kach. Aval inyan kiddush, imain lo yayin ela kashir avius the kiddush kedushas halayla kodemis the kedushas hayom. Now we have to see the svaros for this, but the nighttime comes first for a number of reasons. It comes first, right? But it's also because the nighttime has that longer kiddush. But I'm not sure of that svar. The halacha is if you miss that nighttime kiddush, you still make it during the day. Right? But the same applies for food. Better to have a good lunch than a good dinner on Shabbos. If you have only a choice for one or the other. Ezo Kavod Hayom, what do we consider Kavod Hayom? Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rabbi Yaakov, Baracha Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rav, Borei Priya Geffen. What is the Kavod Hayom? To be able to make Borei Geffen and possibly even Atova Meitiv on good wine. Right? The day meal should be more festive. Right? So comes the Charedim and says that Yayin is preferable for the day Kiddush, because we can make the night Kiddush on Challah. Right? It's more readily, the post can more readily allow Kiddush on Challah at night. Let's go back to Cornelius' question. But not during the day. The post can frown upon using the motzi for the day Kiddush. Have you ever, did the Yekis make some kind of combination? Have you seen it?
They wash first.
They wash before they make Kiddush. Right? But in the daytime, they do it the night and the daytime, you know?
Daytime, I think.
Both. Daytime also?
I think
yeah.
So. Both.
Okay. All right, so that's the kavod, to have good wine at the table for the meal. Remember, we're talking about people who did not have water in abundance to drink like we do. Okay, let's finish this because it's about Chanukah. Rav Zreikon Bereit Bar Chamed Rav Zreikon. His Kirshul Chanukah Be'eretz V'Kilsu Ofso. He said he added Ala Nisim to the second bracha in Birkas Hamazon, Nodah, just as in the Amidas and Modim, so too in benching it should be a Noda, and he was praised for doing so. Apparently it wasn't the universal minog. If you would do it, I'd say, of course you should do it that way. That's what it says in the bencher. Rabbi Baba Reid Rab Chia Bar Abba, Ochal Mahalech Omeid Umavarech, Ochal Omeid Yoshev Umavarech. Ochal Yoshev Mesev Mavarech, Ochal Mesev Misatev Mavarech. Let's see what these four things are. Right? This fourth bracha is for the Haruge Beitar. Right? Remember that was it. Okay, so if he ate walking, he should stand to bench. There's a din of Velechta Chavaderech by Kriyat Shema, but not by Birchas Hamazon. Right? You see those words? Ochal Mahalech, if he ate while walking, he should stand in order to the bench. The Gemara elsewhere in the Bavli says it's very dangerous to eat while walking. All right, but that's what he did. If he ate while walking, then he should stop to bench. Uvelech tochav aderech does not apply to benching. Right? Ochal omeid, yoshev umavarech. If he ate while just standing, not like walking, he should sit in order to bench. Right? Ochal omeid, yoshev umavarech. Ochal Yoshev, if he ate while seated, may save him of Arach. Then he should recline to bench. Bench. Take your time. Don't bench in a hurry. You've got plenty of time. Recline, take it easy. Cross your legs. Right? May save him of Arach, if he was already reclining when benching. Remember, they generally reclined when they ate then. That's why the kid in the Mishnah in Pesachim doesn't ask about reclining, because he always saw reclining. Right? Meisev umavarech, och misatev. Och meisev misatev umavarech. Then he should put on a jacket or something, wrap himself. Imasakein hareyu kimalachi asharis. If he did this last one, he's like an angel. My timer, v'shtayim echase panav uv'shtayim echase raklav. He has something covering his hands, or something covering his feet. Where does it say that? In Yeshayahu, it's the Haftarah of Yisro. It talks about the angels in Yeshayahu's dream. Remember?
Six.
Six. Yeah, so there are two up here, two down here, and there were two further down, but that doesn't have to do. He flies with those. Okay? Hadron Lach Shlosha Shachlu, Hadron Lach Shlosha Shachlu, Hadron Alach Shlosha Shachlu. Okay, so we'll start the eighth parak, Mitzvah Shem.